Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor at that website, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
It's-a-me! Meso.
Very good.
Thank you.
You pre-planned that?
No, it just came to me.
Brilliant, then.
Yeah, I know, right?
If you pre-planned it, not worth it.
Yeah, absolutely, but just off the top of the dome, wow, genius.
Yes, yeah. It sure is. Straight to the news, Mason?
Yes.
All right. You may have heard the Ant-Man director has been decided upon. New Ant-Man director.
Okay. Hit me with it.
Edgar Wright left, as we know. We've talked about this at length. Peyton Reed. You familiar with him?
Nope.
He did Yes Man with Jim Carrey, where Jim Carrey was like, I'll say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. My career's not over. He's all right. He does all right, right?
He did I Love You, Philip Morris, right? That was he was in Kick-Ass too.
Oh, yeah, he did. That's true. Yeah,
I mean, at this point...
I haven't seen I Love You, Philip Morris.
Neither have I, but I hear it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's, you know, he's got $1 billion at this point, so it doesn't matter what
he does. He's fine. He's all right. It was good. You know, good on him. He also did The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn, where they broke up.
He was in that, really?
No, no, he directed it. Oh, wait. Oh. We're talking about the director here. So...
Okay, not Jim Carrey. I was going to say, where did Jim Carrey... Was he the wacky neighbor?
He was the wacky neighbor, right. And he also did Bring It On. They're all in my top five. Favorite films, you?
Yeah, they're 1, 2, and 3. They are. And yeah, you're right. Actually, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Look.
And I've left the numbers 4 and 5 slots for the next two films he does. So Ant-Man and whatever the next thing is.
Jim Carrey builds an arc.
Correct.
Or whatever. No, they did that, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
With Steve Carell. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Bad, right?
Yeah, I don't want to say it's bad because none of those movies are bad from memory. I mean, a lot of those movies aren't for me.
Yeah.
Like, Bring It On is not for me. Yes Man was okay. I didn't really love it. And I didn't mind The Breakup. I thought it was okay.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
None of those are even close to being a Marvel movie or a special effects movie or an action movie.
I think this ties into what we were talking about last week, though. They've probably got everything lined up ready to go. They're like, this action scene's going to play out like this, this, and this. We're going to get these beats and whatever.
It might just be, I mean, something like Yes Man, you know, those kind of films.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a case of he's just a guy who the studio says, well, we need to do this. And he's like, I can get that done.
Kind of thing.
So maybe it's just like you said, you know, we've got the camera operators and the cinematographers and the sets and the blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And they just need a guy to say, okay, let's get it moving.
Let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Break for lunch.
Yep.
All right. Also, there's going to be some script involvement from Adam McKay, who, of course, we talked about last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Turned it down, Anchorman and whatnot. So... It's not the most ideal situation.
Absolutely not.
I'm hoping it's going to be really good, but even if it is really good, I'd still in the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, I wished I knew what Edgar Wright was going to do with that.
Me too.
Which again is going to be a problem forever.
That is only, it's only going to be, the problem will only go away for me, like that itch at the back of my mind, if the movie comes out and then Edgar Wright says, you know what, this is pretty much exactly what I would have done.
Yeah.
Like, it's a shame it didn't work out, but this was set up exactly how I wanted it, and it's played out exactly how I wanted it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just going to assume it was a disaster.
Cool. All right. Well, you know what? I was naive of me to think this, but I somewhere...
You're very naive. You're a babe in the woods.
That's true. Somewhere inside me, I'm like, maybe they'll all work out, and they'll be like, Edgar Wright comes back. and they figure it out. I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what got me thinking that, though, because of the Dan Harmon community thing? I'm like, yeah, it happened one time in the history of Hollywood.
Right.
Maybe it can happen again?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nah. So there you go.
That's we'll just be all at the bleachers, you know, and everybody, it'll be raining and sad, and just we just hear like one slow clap building up, and then people would start going, Edgar, Edgar, and we see him walking slowly towards the lot, the film, you know.
In an ideal world.
Mm.
If only.
And then he kicks the winning field goal, right?
Yep.
Great.
Movies.
Touchdown.
Touch up. No, down.
Down.
Yep, good. That's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got another Marvel film, though, Mason, that's been confirmed.
Oh.
Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Confirmed. With a director and all.
Yeah, go ahead.
Scott Derrickson. He directed Yes Man. Co-directed, sorry. Yes Man.
That kind of... No, that's no, not true. No, none sorry. Of those.
He's more of... He does a kind of a darker affair. Do you see Sinister with Ethan Hawke? Where he's like, this monster in the photos is coming to get me. And it was called Bagul. It was kind of creepy.
Bagul.
Yeah, because he like... he there was all these family photos... And there's a and the spirit of whatever this creature is lives in the photos, and when you start noticing it, it starts to come into real life or something.
It sounds like a very cheap,
like a ripoff of a Japanese thing.
Yeah, but also yeah, like that last wave of kind of The Grudge or whatever,
sure,
or Paranormal Activity, like the wave of really cheap.
I would say it's a shade above those.
Okay, all right.
From what I've seen of it,
uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's got some genuinely krilling. Krilling and chilling.
It's covered
moments.
In krill. It's... You open it up and the DVD is just filled with krill.
My worst nightmare, yeah. You also did The Day the Earth Stood Still for Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
That was pretty nothing, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he also did The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which I didn't see, which apparently was an okay. I don't care for those exorcism films.
No, but I mean, that's
Couldn't
got...
give a shit.
This does sort of give us some clues to where it's going to go. Like, this doesn't sound like it's going to be Thor kind of magic.
No.
Where it's... technology,
yeah,
and you know, weird magic ray guns or whatever,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It's just technology that they believe, you know, it's indistinguishable from magic. This sounds like it's going to be more of a kind of a gothic horror kind
yeah,
of
like
creepy.
A Constantine-y kind of
yeah,
thing,
yeah, okay.
More along the lines of, and also he did Hellraiser Inferno, which I haven't seen.
Well,
I don't
that's probably the best of the Hellraisers,
is it?
I don't know, they're all probably exactly the same,
sure,
right?
Doesn't he go to space?
There is a Hellraiser in space.
That's probably the best.
They always go to space.
They do.
Jason X, he went to space.
You got to get there eventually. Yeah. You know, for Crocodile Dundee 3.
I'm listening.
That was one of the pitched scripts for that was in space.
Huh.
How does that even work? I mean, talk about your fish out of water scenarios.
Absolutely, yeah. He's, yeah.
I love how they're like the natural progression. Okay, we'll get him in this US,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll get him into space. Like, that's like the next.
That's the final frontier.
Sure.
For Australians,
I guess,
certainly.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No Australians ever been in a bloody space, mate. Do you think our American listeners can distinguish between my regular accent and my Ocker Outback Australian accent?
I don't think people can distinguish between us,
let so, alone yeah, okay, you're right.
Your variations of Australian accents.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think some people maybe.
Okay.
Can you distinguish different American accents?
Sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, we know our New York accents.
Of course, yes. Yeah. They got some names floated, though, for this role. First of all, though, is there more room for like another arrogant genius billionaire who learns a lesson about being a hero?
I'd say he's a millionaire at best.
Good point.
You got me. Yeah. So
yes.
It's probably fine. Yeah, he learns a bit of humility. That's a really good point.
Mm.
I would say on the face of it, it's really... If you didn't see the armor or the cloak, it would be hard to distinguish Tony Stark and Stephen Strange in a lot
sure.
of cases, yeah.
You're going to have to cast somebody, obviously, who looks kind of different.
Yeah, they're going to be... There's going to be... You're right. They're both arrogant geniuses who suffer a loss and then have to rebuild with some humility.
A lot of people, like Spider-Man, I guess, is that in a way. But he's poor.
Yeah.
What a dickhead.
That's right. Okay, you have some
Got
casting
some names.
Options. Okay.
Jared Leto. He's back
I don't
in a
like
big
that.
Way. You don't like him? Too baby-faced?
Yeah.
Did you like it when Brad Pitt knocked all his teeth out in Fight Club?
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Great.
Tom Hardy?
I guess he's back. Jared Leto's back because he was in Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Which, I've got that. I got to watch it. Apparently
it's
amazing. And he's amazing in that particularly. Tom Hardy?
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. If he can... I mean, if he's still got that Bane physique, no. But I assume he's given up on that because it's been a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. It must be hard to slim down from that, though, right?
Because you'd be all saggy. Like,
yeah, that's it.
If you take a look at modern-day Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I do. Absolutely. Though, there was some set photos of him released recently where he's the older Terminator. He looks quite good. He's like a grey-haired Silver Fox Terminator.
Wow.
So, yeah. But the last...
Old money Terminator. The last... He's got a yacht, the Terminator.
The last one was...
Polo Club Terminator.
This is my favourite, the last one, which means I probably won't go with it. I feel like I can never pick these casting choices.
Yeah.
Names float up and so often nothing happens of it.
That's
have you
true,
noticed
yeah.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I don't know if I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe it's just the...
Is it the buffont?
It's the buffont. He doesn't have a lot of contrast in his face.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
His face is a bit monochrome.
Featureless.
He's a little... Yeah, I don't know. That's... Yeah.
Yeah, he does kind of look like a tadpole with a wig.
Yeah,
a white tadpole with a
correct.
Wig.
Correct.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's kind of... seeing what he's done with Sherlock.
I don't like any of those casting choices, is basically what I'm saying.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Well, back to the drawing board, Marvel.
Mm.
Get it together.
But I'm kind... Yeah, the thing is, I'm kind of... I would be interested to see this gothic horror kind of direction.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I want to be him flying through crazy dimensions and shooting lasers out of his hands.
I'm thinking that's where it's going.
Good.
I think they've slowly been building to this wacky space magical kind of thing.
Great.
And
phase 3
this is, by the way, obviously. That's where they're really going to explode this kind of situation, you know?
Yeah, this whole situation.
Especially because they're probably not... Well, at this point, there's no Iron Man 4, so...
Mm, yeah.
Mm. All right. More news.
Yeah, maybe they'll just switch them out and... You know.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Notices,
I think
really.
It's kind of like they don't know what they're going to do with Robert Downey Jr. in the future or whatever. There's rumors that he's going to be killed off in Age of Ultron and whatever. Though I think he is in Avengers 3. I think he's booked in for that. So they need other people to carry it. And Chris Evans has clearly stepped up. I would say behind Robert Downey Jr. now he's the most successful.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, you know, storylines always have certain archetypes. You know, the... They call it the 5-man band. Like, you've got the hero, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
You've got
the guy in the cymbals.
Yeah, you've got the guy in the cymbals, thank you, in between his knees.
Yep.
But you've got, like, the Lancer, who's, like, the rebellious second-in-command, Han Solo, and et cetera, et cetera.
You're talking, like, Lance from Voltron?
Lance from Voltron, thank you.
Is that what that refers to?
Yeah, maybe.
Good.
Yeah. And et cetera, et cetera, you know.
You got the girl.
You got the girl. Yep.
Yeah.
Who is Hawkeye?
Okay.
Hawkeye's the girl.
That's right. Because he's the only one with the... What did you say? He's got the costume.
Yeah, he's got the exposed arms.
Yeah.
Whatever. He shows the most skin in the... Well, the Hulk, but that doesn't count.
No.
Yeah. That's too much. It was a lady.
Yeah. Bad news. I feel like this is all bad news. No, Doctor Strange, that's good news, right?
Yes.
Look, Ant-Man's not bad news. I would say it's news. Because we knew they were going to replace it, whoever they picked, unless they were like, this is... Edgar Wright's identical twin brother.
Yeah.
Who's also a really good filmmaker.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Arkham.
Sometimes they swap in and out. They've been doing it for years. Crazy hijinks. No one's ever even noticed.
Just like that movie about wizards battling with Hugh Jackman. Wizard Battle, yeah. What's it called?
The Prestige.
Prestige.
Yeah, okay, right. Spoiler alert for that really old film.
Fuck it, who cares?
Yeah, terrible.
People love that movie. It falls apart at the cloning machine.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
All right. Arkham Knight.
That's why I think they brought in David Bowie as Nikola Tesla.
Because
they were
he's
like
magic.
No, but more that this bit we know doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And it ruins it. But if we throw in David Bowie, people are like, oh cool, it's David Bowie, he's great. And we'll just gloss over it, we'll just let it ride. But
we didn't let it ride.
No.
There was that other one that at the same time with
The Illusionist.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson and Edward Norton, yeah.
Was that Scarlett Johansson? No, she was in The Prestige. It was Jessica Biel.
You're right.
Get
Who
your
cares?
Bloody magical mid-2000s movies in order, Mason.
I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Arkham Knight.
Yep.
Much anticipated Arkham game. It's been delayed till 2015.
Is that a bad sign?
No, it's a good sign, generally. In video games, it's a good sign. For example, Jupiter Ascending, which was due out July, the next Wachowski failure.
Looks good.
So, yeah, it probably will be.
Having recently seen the trailer.
Yeah.
Before I watched Edge of Tomorrow, or did I?
Yeah.
It looked really good.
I agree. Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm okay with it, but I think they're worried it's going to like John Carter. Because in a sea of familiar properties, then you've got...
You're right. It's an original property. It's not based on a comic book. It's not based on a TV series. It's not based on a book. It's not a remake.
It's been too long since Wachowski's have had a hit.
Yeah, yeah.
With The Matrix 3, which if you'd even consider that a hit, which
yeah, yeah.
I do not.
Mm.
Yeah, because then it's Speed Racer and
But I mean, The Matrix came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
They can strike gold twice.
I'm not saying they can't, but if it's being pushed back to February, that is not a good month for movies.
Mm. All right.
So that's all I'm saying. Especially when it looks very expensive.
I don't see. I would argue that pushing back a video game is not necessarily a good sign.
Really?
Like Watch Dogs, which has just come out.
Oh, yeah.
That was originally going to be a third or fourth quarter 2013 game. And that was pushed back to now, like end of May now, 2014.
Yeah.
And the reviews of that, it's kind of okay.
Yeah, people like it.
Yeah, people are like, well, it's fine, you know.
It's kind of like Grand Theft Auto with a hacking phone.
Yeah. It's Grand Theft Auto, but instead of driving around all the time, you're looking at your phone all the time.
So it's life.
It's life. It's a simulation of life. It's a next-gen simulation of life.
Great. Yeah, look, Watch Dogs, for me, it's not something that's going to make me buy one of those next-gen.
No, I'll buy it on previous gen, I think. Yeah,
that's it, if I do at all. Yeah, well, that Batman was going to be the reason I was going to buy a PS4, so now I'm just going to wait that out.
And it'll be cheap again.
Even cheaper.
Yeah.
I'm playing so... I don't even play video games at the moment. I feel like I've played everything. Like, I see Watch Dogs, I'm like, that looks, you know, looks pretty good, but I feel like I've played that. Every shooter that comes out, I've played it.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, there's a lot of indie games I know that doesn't all fall into this, but I don't play a lot of those games.
I would say 90% of the games I play are kind of third-person sandbox shooters.
Yeah, sure.
So I've... And I do, but and I'm like, ooh, there's new characters. Oh, I wonder how the guns handle, whatever.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I get maybe... half to two-thirds of the way through the game, and I'm like, I get it. It's fine. I understand. And it really was just a new skin over the same stuff.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people are feeling that maybe with Watch Dogs. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's Grand Theft Auto-ish.
Yep.
And it's got a hacking mechanic to it.
Yep. And like, it's solid mechanics and whatever, but, you know, it is what it is. Now, Mason, I wanted to just briefly address Game of Thrones.
Okay.
There was a big Game of Thrones thing that happened during the week.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to talk about it.
Yes.
Obviously knowing that you haven't watched Game of Thrones yet.
Right, yep.
But I just wanted to say, you're a dickhead and you should watch Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about Game of Thrones.
Right, because you texted me late last week.
Unreasonably.
No, it's not unreasonable, but you said, hey, having known that I'm three episodes into season one of Game of Thrones, you said, hey, can you watch all of Game of Thrones in 2 weeks? And I worked it out. I would have had to watch 3 episodes a day for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Right. I can't watch 3 episodes a day of something that I like. Not that
like
I
MASH.
Yeah, like MASH. Exactly.
Still working your way through MASH.
Oh boy.
11 seasons.
Oh, when it gets serious at the ends of every episode, there's no laugh track in the surgery.
No,
you know
there's
what I
not.
Mean? But yeah, and if I skip a day, I've got to watch 6 episodes a
day.
I agree.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I'll get to it. I'll start at some point.
Because when the season ends in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was hoping a new episode. I'm just bringing this up to say I should have let you know many weeks
months
ago.
Months ago. That's right.
Yeah. But I don't understand why.
But I mean, who knew that crazy revelations were going to happen in Game of Thrones? I did, and I haven't watched it. I know that that's what happens in that show.
Maybe tweet at Mason and tell him to watch that. No, don't do that. Leave him alone.
Or we could do an episode where I leave the room and you just talk to yourself. Anyway, something, Game of Thrones, something.
It's
did you have
good.
News there? Or that's
no,
what
no.
Saying?
I just wanted to be like, right. I want to talk about Game of Thrones, but I can't.
Hey, folks, just email James and give him your thoughts on Game of Thrones, and he'll email back because he's desperate to talk to people about it. Apparently,
it's everybody loves Game of Thrones. Though.
Yeah,
you know, people at your work and that they're all like talking about.
Yeah,
stuff.
I'm not against Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that it's hard to interact with people about Game of Thrones if you haven't watched any. And I know it's good.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen... Look, I know everybody's great on it, and there's dragons, and there's the lady with the white hair, and she wears lots of nice dresses. Like, I know that much.
A lot of nice dresses.
Yeah.
It's like the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, yeah. Lots. But...
Look, it's probably the best show, or one of the best shows on television at the moment. And if you're watching, like, Orphan Black, which is fine, just swap that out for Game of Thrones.
All right, fine.
That's what I'm
God.
Saying. Don't be watching Orphan Black.
It's a good show.
It's all right.
How dare you?
I'm up to date.
Yep.
It was in our What Are We Reading?
It was, yeah.
That's all right. Mason, we've got some more. We did an episode last week on Star Wars spin-offs. Very popular episode. People enjoyed the Star Wars.
Great.
Who would have thought that one of the most successful franchises of all time
would have fans? Yeah. Weird, right? Yeah.
Really weird.
Mm-hmm.
So they announced another director for another spin-off movie.
Hit me with it. Is it somebody we know? If this is somebody whose name I don't recognize... I'm smashing this whole operation right now. Because I'm sick of these. I'm sick of you being like, oh, there's a new director announced for Doctor Strange. And I'm like, who is it? And you're like, it's Johnny Smithton. And I'm like, who is? No. It's not a real person. You're just making words up.
Should I say the person and the thing that they're most known for?
Yes.
Okay. I think we just know this guy, Josh Trank.
He invented the tranquilizer gun, yeah.
He did. Yeah. Yes.
Refresh my memory. What did Josh Trank
Chronicle.
Do?
I swear we have this conversation every time.
Yeah.
Every time I say Josh Trank and you say who, and I say Chronicle and you go, haven't seen it.
Yep.
And I go, I know.
You haven't given me a chance. Maybe I have seen it in the interim. Go ahead.
Have you seen it?
No.
It's good.
I know. You say that every time. Now that I remember this conversation that we have every time. What's he done besides that?
That's it. Oh, okay. He's going to do... there's something he's doing in between. He's doing Fantastic Four. That's right. Okay. We do talk about this guy a lot,
constantly,
actually.
Constantly, yeah.
Draven C.
Do you feel I should get some sort of Josh Trank tattoo on my body, like in Memento?
Yes.
So every time you're like, Josh Trank, I'm like, I remember that. And I can look at it and be like, oh, Josh Trank.
Chronicle.
Haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it underneath.
And then I can tape a copy of the Chronicle DVD. No, I can tape a USB to my arm and it's got Chronicle on it and then I can watch it.
Brilliant. Draven C wrote in, friend of the show. He said, do you guys really feel like these directors? So we got Josh Trank. We got the guy who...
Wait, who's Josh Trank?
We got the guy. we got the guy who did Chronicle.
Yep.
Oh, not Chronicle. Godzilla. What's his name? Far out, man. We just did an episode on that.
Doesn't matter.
Him.
Yeah, him.
Dustin Diamond. Let's call it. So it's him. He goes, do you really feel like these are the best directors we can get? Like, he's saying that... Then I'm assuming he's alluding to they're not that proven so far, which I guess is true. Josh Trank has only done Chronicle, which is a found footage superhero movie.
Sure, sure.
That is it.
Yep.
Though he did do a Star Wars kind of found footage short film a few years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Which I watched. It's okay. It's like a house party mixed with kind of Star Wars and stuff.
Okay, interesting.
It's all right. And obviously the other guy I mentioned did Godzilla, which some people enjoyed, some people didn't. And
Rodzilla is his Rodzilla, name. Rodney Zilla.
Yeah, but I mean, I see this as, I hear those names though and I go, well, no, they're not exactly proven, but I'd rather get them than like, even like Spielberg, be like, Spielberg's doing it. Spielberg's fine, he's great, whatever, but I'd rather see somebody with a newer vision and whatever do something like this.
Yeah, I think, talking about it, are these the best names we can get?
Mm.
I think probably yes. I mean, you talk about, Spielberg.
Mm.
Spielberg or maybe James Cameron or something like that. Yeah. Like, if you talk about the biggest names in Hollywood, they're probably not going to take on something that they haven't had a huge hand in creating, probably. Like,
James Cameron didn't grow up on Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
You know, he was a man before this came out.
Right.
These guys have.
Yeah. And they want to create their own thing, like Avatar or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't want to be beholden to somebody else's ideas.
Yeah.
Like, especially, superhero stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
They probably don't think it's beneath them, but they'd be like, well, how about I put my own spin on that? And it's probably not going to be... You know, they'd want... Spielberg might want to have layers of meaning and themes and metaphors.
Father-son
stuff or whatever. And
Reese's Pieces.
He'd want to turn all the repulsor rays and Thor's hammers into walkie-talkies. But it's not going to... And the Marvel Studios, I would assume, don't want that.
Yeah.
They want to be like, well, here's the characters. They have certain characteristics. We want them to...
You mean Lucasfilm?
Yes.
Or just mean in general? Property in general? Yeah. Yeah, so go on.
Yeah, and you know, we just want them to run with the characters and have them be consistent so we can sell action figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Mm. So, Draven Mason thinks you're wrong.
Wow. Does he say that or is he asking
the
question?
No, he's just like, do you feel like it's the best we can get, pretty much? So yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see that as a negative.
Yeah.
I'm
with you.
Yeah. I think in many ways we do need some people who, you know, they've got good ideas in terms of cinematography or special effects or action set pieces or whatever.
Yeah.
But who will work inside the sandbox sort of thing. Yeah.
Sure. Hmm. Good point, Mason.
Thank you.
You've nailed it.
Second time I've said sandbox today in two different contexts.
I hate sandboxes. They're weird and gross.
Yeah.
Stay out of them.
Yeah.
Kids, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Cats shit in them as well.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So.
Important public service announcement there, guys.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're here to talk about this week, Mason.
Yep.
What? Edge of Tomorrow.
There we go. You had to think about it.
I had to ask you before the show. I was typing it up, and I was like, was it like, it's the man from the past?
Because it's a terrible title. Let's talk about that. And we have talked about it before, but it is a terrible title.
Yeah.
It was based on some sort of Japanese. It says light novel.
Yeah. Does that mean All You Need Is Kill?
All You Need Is Kill, which is quite a good title. Yeah. But every time I hear it, I go, All You Need Is Kill.
Bang, 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 bang.
Great. What's a light novel? Is that like a manga or is it like an actual novel?
I'm assuming it's like a shortish kind of novella thing.
All right,
is that
cool.
a novella?
Yeah, probably. Know.
Yeah, yeah.
But the original, one of the proposed titles apparently was Live, Die, Repeat,
which is
on the tagline.
Yeah.
On it, which is much better, right?
I agree.
It gives you a sense of what the movie is about, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, Edge of Tomorrow... When you think about it, he is the character.
He's on the edge.
He's constantly on the edge of tomorrow, but yeah. It doesn't. It could be any film.
You're
ever.
Right. And you know what though? Somebody made this point a few weeks ago. They wrote in. We're getting like Age of Ultron.
Yep.
Rise of whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like it's always. Yeah. What's that Transformers one called?
Age of Extinction.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think this is a push from the big OV lobby? Yeah. Hollywood's big OV lobby. Like you know, all the words have lobbies and Ov's got a whole bunch of money behind it. And they're like, let's get Ov into some stuff.
Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pricks.
So terrible title. This is a shame.
Yeah. Well, look, speaking of Ov.
They've gotten to you too. You son of a bitch. This used to be about the podcasting or whatever we do here.
Whatever vague format we loosely stick to. It's opened third behind The Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah,
where Shailene Woodley has cancer or whatever.
Okay, yep. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah,
most of the time,
you can't. And Maleficent.
Oh yeah, okay.
Which was carried over from last week. It's going to make. They say they'd be lucky to make an estimated 30 mil. I'm surprised that it it's not doing that good. But considering that competition, it does make sense. To put it in perspective, last year, Oblivion made 37 million. Oh, this is US domestic, by the way.
Right.
Oblivion made 37 million in its first week with very little competition.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Does this feel like competition, though? I mean, there is no choice between Edge of Tomorrow and Maleficent and Fault in Our Stars, Cancer, something, something.
No, but if you're, say, going to the movies, right... You would see that Tom Cruise movie because it's completely inoffensive and you're like, oh, I get this. This is kind of
right,
safe.
Right.
It's a safe choice if those other two weren't there.
Right.
Just with those options.
You're saying they're all safe choices?
No, I'm saying they split demographics.
Right,
what they
okay.
do. So you get the younger crowd, in particular, young women going to Maleficent and Fault in the Stars.
Uh-huh.
And even guys would probably go see Maleficent because it's got action and witches and shit. I don't know.
Dragons and stuff.
Whatever. Yeah. I have no interest in that. Like, but though, The Fault in Our Stars, I actually started reading that earlier this week. I thought, what's this all about or whatever? It's a fine book and all that. I like to, you know, try different, not just comics every
sure,
now and then.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
But it's not for me, do you know what I mean? Because
right,
I'm not a 16-year-old girl, you know.
Mm, yes.
Thank Christ. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know, different audiences. So
okay,
it's,
yeah.
he's taken
so it's
a bit
not,
of a
so
hit.
It's not doing that great.
No.
What you're saying.
Well, it was predicted to bomb. I don't think it's going to.
Interesting.
I don't think it's going to bomb, but, well. It's okay, right? Like, what did you think of it? Bearing in mind that you also were baiting me whether or not you'd actually
seen
it.
Well, here's the thing, and you don't know yet. See, for those new listeners, You know, there are certain like big name films that I will see, like an Avengers movie comes out, I'll see an Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But these are some littler films that make, you know, very little impact on the entertainment landscape, or like your
300 Rise of an Empire.
Yeah, exactly. They're not required viewing for some sort of larger movie continuity or anything like that. Ultimately, it doesn't matter if I've seen them or not. And my question, my test to myself is, one day James is going to ask me to review one of these films, and I'm just not going to see it. And I'm going to see how long I can go in the podcast without him noticing that I haven't seen it. Like, I'm just going to bluff my way through and see if he picks up on it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe I've seen this one, maybe I haven't.
Part of me also thought, what if I don't see it?
Right.
And they flip the switch. But then imagine this whole conversation.
Elaborate double bluff.
And we were both just talking about this movie that we haven't seen.
Yeah. Okay, no, that's... Oh, that'd be so good.
That would be.
That would make... No,
but no, I did see
everyone
it.
Everyone would stop listening. Yeah, me too. I did too.
Shut up! He's winking!
Yep.
But,
Okay, let's talk about
it. Yeah, what did you think of it if you saw it?
Yeah, I think I was mentioning this to you earlier. I knew I was going to have to review this, and I realized that having done this for several months, I don't know how to review something.
Yeah.
So I looked up some reviews of the film.
Okay.
And people are divided on it. Some people are saying, well, this is reinvigorated Tom Cruise's, this is what the role he's born to play, and this is amazing, and blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
And some people are like, boy, Tom Cruise really needs to pick better roles, because he's just phoning them in, just picking these lackluster blah, blah, blah.
Even if you think this is a lackluster movie, which I don't think it is, I think it's okay. He puts it all into this kind of stuff physically, at least. Anyway,
I think it was very watchable.
Yeah,
I think it was entertaining. I'm not sure if I'd ever go back to it.
Okay, yeah.
This
is where you give your score. You go like B+. Because we're doing a proper review now.
Oh yeah,
you're a proper movie.
No, really. I didn't write any notes down or anything. I thought about it. Maybe next time I'll do it. But this time I'm just
don't do it.
Again.
Why mess with whatever formula we have?
I think that the two leads are very charming.
Yep.
I think the chemistry is good. What chemistry they have?
Yeah,
what chemistry they're capable of having.
Well, that's it, and that's more down to him, I would say. With Tom Cruise, it's kind of a staple of him is he's very forced in his chemistry. He comes across as forced to me, and he's got this kind of weird, dead-eyed intensity.
Right, but I think that worked in this film because his character is sort of this. He's a career major in the army, but he's the PR major.
Yeah, he's a smug, smooth.
He's a smug guy, and he's smooth, and like he's not necessarily genuine to anyone he meets. And I think that worked well.
I completely agree. It's like this movie was built for him, Mason.
Yeah.
Look, like we do every week, we're not going to do spoilers to start with, but it's one of those movies, if you've seen the trailer, you know the premise where basically every time he dies, he comes back and he gets to relive the day.
Yeah.
That is in the trailers. But we'll talk about
He's a man who's not, has avoided combat his whole life. He's forced into this, he's drafted in this combat situation against this alien force that's invaded Earth. He dies and then he keeps coming back.
Yep.
And he sort of has to figure out why and, you know, live. Essentially.
If we were a proper review show, I'd say, and here's a clip.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a clip.
Oh, we could do that. Just audio. Just audio from the trailer.
People do that all the time.
I know, right? On the radio especially, you hear that.
Yeah.
It's weird because just watch it on YouTube
just
now.
Explain it
on your phone immediately. It's fine.
That's what it should do. That's what we should say. Watch it on your phone, arseholes, if you haven't.
That's right. Oh, that should be our catchphrase. Watch it on your phone, arseholes. Pretty good. Okay, we'll remember that for next week. Yeah, though, in terms of the premise... And again, I've mentioned this, I think, before, that I like the idea in a sci-fi or a fantasy film that there's one weird thing.
Yeah.
Like you can have time travel, or you can have people with telekinesis, but you shouldn't have both.
Yeah.
Because then it's terrible.
Because it's Looper.
Because it's Looper, and it's terrible, and you, like, it's, you know, it makes you feel like there is inconsistencies with one part of the plot. And they're like, well, just give them telekinesis, and it'll be fine, and it'll sort everything out. And I always think it's...
Are you talking
about,
unless it's like a full-blown, like, magical fantasy
Harry
Potter
Yeah, it's like
thing?
The Marvel Universe where you can have magic and, you know, super soldiers and whatever all together because it's just taken as given that the world is super weird.
But you're talking if you've got a sci-fi movie set in the real world, you pick one element and you stick to it. Like Terminator's time travel and robots, I guess. But
that's fine. But this one sort of has two. And when going into this, I'm like, well, it's going to be... There's this time loop thing, and there's sort of Starship Troopers-esque power armor. But I didn't think the powered armor was that much of a plot point. I don't think it ruined it. I think it was just, I think that was largely incidental.
Yeah.
I thought you could have just had them as soldiers and it would have worked fine. And that's mostly what it was.
Yeah.
Like that was an excuse for, you know, do people have guns, howitzers come out of the back and blow some stuff up and it looked pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But it didn't overwhelm them.
It just kind of felt like they'd kind of modernized D-Day pretty much.
Yeah.
It felt
like
they're kind of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. You sort of could.
In the future.
Yeah. You could have said it. You could have said it in World War II.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. Just against the Germans and something time loop something. Yeah.
Hitler.
But yeah, I thought the premise worked. And again, it's a premise that doesn't really make sense.
No.
But they've built a rule and they've applied the rule.
Yes.
So Tom Cruise acquires this ability. This keeps happening unless X.
Yeah.
You know, which we will talk about in the spoilers.
Yeah. Yep.
And then, you know, and that was stuck to and applied to and it worked. So
sure.
I'm fine with the premise.
Okay.
Wise. Yeah.
For me, I was really happy.
Uh-huh.
You get a Tom Cruise running scene five minutes in.
Yes.
It's very early.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Yeah.
That's not a spoiler, right?
No, we know he's going to run.
Yeah, that's right. Do you feel like that it had all the classic Cruise tropes? Muppet run, right?
Yep, Muppet run, sure.
Uh-huh. Motorcycles.
There was a motorcycle. There was a motorcycle. He gets to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah, force chemistry, all those other things. Could you tell that Tom Cruise thing again? Because you told it in an early episode.
But again, I don't think that... I felt he was quite like a good presence in the film.
I agree. I like Tom Cruise. You know, you expect certain things from him and he delivers them. I would never say that I've seen him in a movie where he's bad in it. He's watchable. He's very watchable, even though he's a weird kind of space priest or something in real life or whatever.
Yeah. But anyway, so I heard this somewhere or other.
Yeah.
Regarding Tom Cruise and motorcycles. Apparently what happens sometimes is he needs to go to a movie studio for a meeting or what have you.
Yeah.
And he'll drive up in his motorcycle and park his motorcycle. He's very cool. He gets off. He goes into the building to do his meeting.
Whips off his Ray-Bans.
You know he does. And then he's got like in a, like he's followed closely behind by a van and it's got like maybe his management or, you know, minders or security or Scientology people or whatever in it.
Yeah.
And somebody gets out of the van, they get on the motorcycle, they walk it around and reverse it. So when he comes out of the meeting, he can just get on the motorcycle and drive forward straight out. He doesn't have to back it out and, you know, be kind of awkward. Cause that's an awkward situation.
It's a real awkward turnaround.
So he can just get out of the meeting, get on the motorcycle, cruise on out of there.
You know
out.
It.
Yeah.
What a legend.
I know, right?
What a bloody legend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, you're obviously, you're a Tom Cruise fan then, right? Not a fan, but, like, you're not one of the people who are against Tom Cruise.
No,
obviously.
I will watch, like, it's very rare for me to see a Tom Cruise film and not enjoy it, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
He's kind of nailed this kind of semi, kind of futuristic sci-fi-y kind of genre. He's like those past few years, you look at the movies he's made, like Oblivion and Day After Tomorrow and Minority Report and this kind of thing. They've all got a specific kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this kind of thing is perfect for him in that way. But also, if you hate him, you get to watch him die again and again.
Absolutely.
And if you like him, well, good. You like him. You know?
I think in a lot of cases as well, anytime I watch a Tom Cruise movie and it's bad, it's not necessarily anything he's done in it. Like Mission Impossible 2 is a bad film, but it's because they took the John Woo formula and they micromanaged it to within an inch of its life, so it didn't feel kind of dynamic or interesting anymore.
Yeah.
Right? He was fine in that
film. He was. Yeah. Exactly. He did everything that he did in the first one, except he had sweet hair.
Sweet hair. So much sweeter hair. Yeah.
For me, I felt like it was structured like you play a video game.
Yeah.
Where you get to a point, you die, you go back to a checkpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the difference being in the video game, normally the checkpoints are a little more forgiving. And this one sets him right back to the start of the day.
If you played this as a video game, you would be incredibly frustrated.
Oh, yeah.
You would give it a zero, right?
And you'd have to go and walk down and meet everybody again every day.
Yeah.
But I also
a lot of unskippable cutscenes.
Exactly. It's like a fucking Metal Gear game.
Yeah.
Don't hate them. Stories are bullshit. Please don't email me.
Send him emails. Yeah.
I started Metal Gear on Metal Gear 4, as you know, Metal Gear Solid 4, and I was just instantly like, what the fuck is happening?
Right.
Great gameplay.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened.
Irrelevant.
The last cutscene was also 40 minutes.
Absolutely.
That is unacceptable.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. But, it just had a series of checkpoints and then kind of like a boss battle. That was pretty much how it came about. And I liked that there was some humor also that came with the situation, him anticipating what people would kind of do. You know, it took that kind of, that Groundhog Day-esque kind of, the advantage that you would have over people.
Right, right,
and then to use that. And also, obviously, the multiple deaths that he had.
Right, right. Some of which were played for laughs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like yeah, the truck one.
Yeah, we can say a couple of these. Sure, yeah. Are relevant to the plot. At one point, he sort of attempts to escape like a drill line of people doing push-ups by rolling
under
a truck.
That's in the trailer as well.
And then he rolls under a truck, and the first couple of times he does it, he's hit by the truck and he's killed. Right? But again, he's sort of figured, well, I've got unlimited lives here. I can just keep trying this until it works. And again, in the trailer, and we haven't talked about Emily Blunt yet, but we should.
Sure.
He's training and he breaks his leg and she just shoots him.
Yeah.
That's kind of, because where's the harm?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Mm. Was he, I'd imagine if this was, say, a real scenario, right, would that have been exhausting that every time you wouldn't even really get sleep, would you? Because you'd just snap back.
Yeah, that's
back.
A good point, actually.
So
yeah.
You just be, and then you're back straight away.
I don't know. Maybe they should have added a line where he's like, oh, I feel like I've had a good 8 hours. I'd imagine he would be as rested as he was
when he woke up.
When he woke up the
good
first
point.
Time. Yeah.
I wasn't going to say.
So yeah, I would say, having read some of these reviews, a lot of people would have said this was kind of Groundhog Day crossed with Starship Troopers.
Yes, sure.
I think it's better than that. I think it's, yeah.
Better than those movies?
Yes.
Better than Groundhog Day?
Groundhog Day's pretty great, actually. No, I mean, it's better than how that sounds.
Oh, okay, maybe, yeah. So, a lot of time when people say, oh, it's this and this just mashed together, but you're saying it's that, but the sum of its parts are a bit bigger than that particular thing. You know what else I liked about it?
Mm-hmm.
The explosions. Maybe it was just the cinema that I was in. They weren't obnoxious and ear-piercing.
Yeah.
I find a lot of time I'm just like, it really kind of like, you don't need to make them like that. Maybe that's just me getting older.
Right, right, yeah.
But I felt like there wasn't...
If it's too loud, you're too old, brother. That's what they say.
But yeah, I also liked that when they did kick it back to the start of the day, I thought, are they really going to make us watch this day through again and again?
But it was well edited. It was quite well edited.
Exactly. So if he died, and then the next time it would pick up exactly where he was then. So he'd done all those things leading up to that point again.
Yeah. It was edited very well to the point where, the first couple of times it happens, he's repeating the day, but you're not exhausted by him, by watching him repeat the day. Yeah.
Because he's baffled by it and there's something amusing and interesting in watching him try to figure out what exactly is going on.
Yeah, yeah.
The cast, though, we talked briefly about Emily Blunt.
Yep.
She's great, right?
She's great in it, yeah.
What a bloody legend.
What a bloody legend, yeah. Nice, yeah. Do you feel, and some people said that, mate, she falls into the background as the movie progresses. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I'll say that's weird. I thought they were building to... You know what? I'm going to save this as spoilers.
Okay,
don't worry
cool.
about it.
All right, hold on to it.
Yep, well, I'm just going to write it down because I'll forget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep, sorry. Come back to that. But yeah, I felt that in a way. And I felt they were building somewhere with that character, which they then didn't get to. But I'll talk about
that
later.
You're probably right, yeah.
But she's never really kind of done an action-y kind of thing before. She's done like that one where Matt Damon runs through doors and wears hats.
Matt Damon door runner.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know where there's angels or something?
Oh, the Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah, people thought it was like Inception or whatever. Uh-huh. It's okay, it's fine.
Okay.
And she was in Looper, of course.
Right.
And she can't swing an axe for shit, I'll tell you that much. But she's fine in those things, but this is her first kind of big, big action role.
Yeah, with action set pieces.
Well, she was going to be Black Widow as well.
That was
lined up to be that. But I thought she was really, really good.
Mm.
And I liked the international cast because the film was set in Europe. You had your smattering of Americans and whatever, but you had people from all around the world. We had Australia's own Kit Gurry.
Yep, absolutely. star of Garage Days, Australian film
That's
from 2002, it. Which is not good.
Not good.
But he's
What's the ending of that movie again? The struggling rock band? What happens?
Struggling rock band, one of the members wins the lottery and they're not struggling anymore. Who else was in it? Noah Taylor, Australia's own Noah Taylor,
Great.
Who I've seen...
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is in. He was recently in The Double, which I found is a very...
I haven't seen that.
Very unsatisfying film, I thought.
Oh, really?
It's a going experience, but we're not here to talk about that.
It's weird though, we've got The Double and the one where Jake Gyllenhaal has a double.
Really?
Yeah, there's another one where it's like two Jake Gyllenhaals.
Huh.
Maybe it's just...
Source Code 2, now there's two Jake Gyllenhaals.
One of them's played by Tobey Maguire.
Ooh.
Can't remember what it's called.
Yep.
Brendan Gleeson's great.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Not into that much, but he's good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Donham's Gleeson's father. You know, the guy who recently got cast in Star Wars from About Time.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
I think that's... Oh, Bill Paxton.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't go past Bill Paxton.
You know what? The first couple of seconds of that film, I'm like, Paxton's... It's a bit weird Paxton's in a sci-fi film. Then I'm like, no, he was Hicks in Aliens.
He's been in many sci-fi films.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus he was in Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. You know why? He's a chameleon. That's
and
why.
He's in bloody Terminator as well.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying it was the correct thought to have. I'm saying I'm an idiot.
Was he in The Abyss?
Probably, yeah.
Mm.
Seems like it.
Has he been killed
but
by
he's great. He's
has
great
he been killed
that.
By a predator?
I think yes, he was killed by Predator and Predator 2.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
So he's in the same camp as Lance Henriksen.
Henriksen, where he's been killed by a Predator, an Alien, and a Terminator. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
I think they're the only two. There might be one more, but...
Mm.
No.
No? That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Email in if you've been killed by a predator, an alien, and a Terminator. Not one of them, because I don't care. But if you've been killed by all three, let us know. Thank you.
Speaking of characters, Mason, people say often CGI makes up many characters in films.
No one's ever said that. The only people who have said that are like people in DreamWorks documentaries, like DreamWorks animation documentaries, and nobody watches those, and if they do, they don't believe that.
Well, the How to Train Your Dragon Again is coming again.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so are we going to talk about the mimics?
Yeah, I want to talk about monster design, yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. I like the kind of erratic kindness, but they didn't really seem to have a...
physical form?
Yeah.
They didn't have a lot of impact.
Yeah.
We talked about things being visceral, I think, last episode or episode before that. Yeah. No, they didn't... there wasn't a lot of blood.
No.
And I guess maybe that's to keep a PG-13 rating in the US or whatever. But yeah, they didn't... I thought their movement was... like, they had... the movement was quite vicious and kind of...
squiddy.
Yeah, it was squiddy. There's a sequence towards the end involving a dropship and a whole bunch of them that is very...
Oh, yeah.
Them being chased by squiddies in The Matrix Reloaded.
Yeah.
But I think I thought the humans versus mimic battle sequences, they were very kind of World War II reminiscent, kind of D-Day reminiscent. And I thought the effects were good. They didn't have a lot of personality.
Yeah, I felt that as well. Kind of a bit... They served their purpose.
Yeah,
and they looked okay, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah.
But yeah. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Why were they called mimics? What are they mimicking?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to ask about. Well, let's go into spoilers then so we can... Yeah. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say about the cast. That J-Squad, like the squad that Tom Cruise put into. I know they're supposed to be like, they've all got personalities.
But
and
they're terrible. They're horrible cliches.
They're
right?
Not endearing at all.
No,
like, I was like, fuck these guys.
Yeah. I think Kit Gary's character was a little bit...
Yep.
The Americans will find him very endearing.
Yep.
Because he's got that lovely Australian accent. But I think the rest were kind of cardboard cutouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the... fat guy party animal, and you've got the tough girl with the accent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They wanted a Vasquez from Aliens.
That's
they wanted
what
a
that
blah,
felt like.
Blah. They wanted all those guys, so they had to put in, you know. But they all had backstories where they were tragic figures or something, you know?
Blah.
Yeah, exactly. No, no good.
Who cares?
Yep.
Spoilers, Mason. Let's talk spoilers.
Let's talk spoilers? Okay, let's go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, okay, basically...
Hang on, let me think if I've got any non-more spoiler stuff to say.
You can always add it in.
Oh, yeah, good point. With editing, sure.
No, I mean, but you could just talk about
I just did a radio
whatever.
Thing just earlier.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to ask
but,
about that.
And it was like a irreverent take on the news or whatever.
Mm.
And yeah, you can't edit. No. Panic types.
You got to make sure that everything counts.
Yeah.
We don't edit anything though, do we?
No, that's why I was straight off the dome, straight into the iTunes.
You know it.
Okay, spoilers, here we go.
But the ending is basically, there is a big boss battle like there is
certainly
in
is a boss
a,
battle.
In any
you have to get a thing
game.
To a place and defeat the boss with it.
With a thing, and then you blow up that thing because then it... I'm not explaining this well, am I? That creature...
Well, I've seen it, so it doesn't matter.
That's true. Exactly. Tom Cruise had the reversing powers, which he stole from the aliens, and they're trying to get it back from him.
Right, and so they have to destroy the Amiga, which is the brain and the power source of the aliens.
Yeah.
But they can't do it. They can't also kill the Alpha, because if they kill the Alpha will get its powers back.
Yes.
Well, and then it'll reverse time and it'll be curtains for everybody. So they have to destroy the Amiga without destroying the Alpha.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do.
Yeah.
So,
huzzah!
But that, to me, didn't make any sense. Well, you know what? First of all, I liked the fake out where it was sending them a fake location and lured Tom Cruise to that dam.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was going to, like, you know, get all weird and alien on him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or whatever, which he'd love, you know.
Yeah.
But
he would. That's true. Good boy.
I enjoyed that. But then at the end when Tom Cruise died or whatever, and then it just went back to before he met Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
I don't feel that was adequately explained. It was just kind of like, oh, you won, so you get a second chance.
I think that was kind of it.
Yeah.
I think up until that point, like I said, they built this mechanic and they stuck with it for the most part. So it didn't, you know, the idea that they have to go and destroy the Amiga without killing the Alpha, maybe it doesn't really make any sense. Like, why would killing the Alpha give it back its time travel powers or whatever? It doesn't really make any sense. But what happens if they establish that that was the rule and then they stuck to it until the end, which was fine. But again, after that, the fact that he was, you know, he killed the monster and he gets a second chance at life.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
But it would make more sense if it just took him back to when he woke up on the bag.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Why not just do that?
Yeah.
I guess they wanted to put it back before he disgraced himself or whatever. And that was the idea.
Yeah.
Because you know how he kind of disgraced himself and then he threatened the general or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually a little bit confused. So he doesn't arrive. So he does arrive. It's not the same. It's not moments before he arrives in handcuffs.
Yeah.
It's way before that.
Yeah.
Significantly before. Okay.
And right. Maybe it was because the timeline was altered.
Maybe it's because he got more goop on him.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what about this though? If he had
get a lot more goop on him.
He certainly did. If he had have stayed awake.
Yep.
And lived through that day.
Yeah.
And then died, say, a week later, would it have taken him back to that point? Or would it have just taken him back to the previous day?
Don't know, mate. So it's outside the scope of this podcast. What are we, the bloody time travel podcast? What are we, the linear men? Sweet DC reference there.
Don't know them.
Doesn't matter.
Good. Yeah. They're just men who go forward in time at regular pace.
Yeah, that's why they're so linear. They're too linear, if anything.
Cool.
What would be the Time Variance Authority?
Oh, what's that from? Time Cop?
That's Marvel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not good at comics, am I?
What are we, Doctor Who, from the television serial Doctor Who?
His name is Doctor Who, isn't
correct,
it, as well?
That's right, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Emily Blunt thing.
Okay.
I felt like it was building towards, and Matt, I think I even saw this in a trailer, that she started to remember him.
Right, okay.
Because there
right.
were scenes where she's kind of looking at him like
yeah, yeah.
she was about to say something or remember
right,
something.
Okay.
Did you feel like that was going to happen? And when she was kind of, she did kind of take a back step, and I thought it would have been revealed that she was could remember bits and pieces of him.
Ah,
like
okay.
in the movie Paycheck with John Woo.
Right. No, see, I didn't pick up on that.
Okay.
And I think it's probably for the better that it's entirely possible that was in there and then they took it out. And I think that's probably for the better.
Yeah.
I actually think it kind of worked that, because these movies always try and shoehorn in a love story. At the end, everybody makes out or whatever and it's the
they
best.
They did make out.
Yeah, sort of.
They did.
They kiss once.
But boy, what a kiss.
Yeah, boy. But that was more like, we're probably going to die, so
yeah.
here's the last bit of human contact before we die kind yeah. of thing. That's what I thought. But I thought rather than kind of shoehorning that in, I thought it worked much better that it was sort of this one-sided romance where Tom Cruise was slowly falling in love with his character and she had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, she would have had the concept that maybe that sort of thing was happening.
Yeah.
You know, because he's returned to life 1,000 times or whatever.
Yeah.
But that he was slowly learning all these things about her and falling in love with the person that she was, and she really had like a couple of hours with him, and so she had no idea.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
It's like 50 first dates.
It is like 50 first dates. They've just rolled in another movie.
Yeah, also, yeah, so, okay.
I also loved his magical remote control that let him do all sorts of crazy stuff.
We should do an episode on that Adam Sandler movie where he goes to Africa. It's called Blended.
Oh,
it's currently out.
Is that
in
out?
Cinemas?
It is out, okay. Why is it called Blended?
Be a race thing.
It's probably a race
thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's a race thing.
Yep.
Please don't assume that I'm racist. Well, do. It's fine. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about it. I think it's... I enjoyed Oblivion more.
Right, okay.
Maybe because I expected less of Oblivion. But not that this was bad in any sense, but I liked a lot of people hated Oblivion, said it was boring. Fair enough. And I haven't gone back and watched it.
Yep.
But I liked the slow burn of Oblivion.
See, I haven't seen Oblivion, but... somebody said recently that the things that he fights are more like they have a weird sinister personality and they're like compelling because it's like weird kind of iPod drone creatures or something, but they have this weird sinister personality to them that's quite off-putting or whatever.
Absolutely.
And somebody was saying that they have more unique personality than the mimics in this film.
Yeah.
So maybe they're a more interesting antagonist.
Sure. Yeah, okay. And I would agree with that. You could probably shave 10 minutes out of that movie, but I found it was more an interesting premise. Not that this wasn't, and I did enjoy it.
Yep.
It's your standard kind of summer blockbustery kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt like something more that you would get in the mid-2000s to early 2000s than you would get now.
Right, yeah.
Because you don't really see this kind of stuff that much anymore.
That's true, yeah.
It's more kind of like your superhero franchises or whatever.
Throwback. Mm.
Yeah.
Throwback Thursday. That's what it is.
What's that?
It's when you post like an old photo of yourself on Facebook or whatever.
Is that a
Twitter
thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. You should do it.
Nah. Do you do it?
No.
Then why should I do it?
Well, you know, do as I say, not as I do.
Okay, fair point.
Yeah.
What were your final verdict though, Mason?
Oh, given the choice between best movie ever and worst movie ever. Yeah. I'm gonna say best movie ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, gotta, you know. Got a nice bit of Tom Cruise in there. Yep. Always enjoy a bit of Tom Cruise. Emily Blunt was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd agree with that. I'd say best movie ever. I will probably never watch this again.
Exactly, yeah. Let's leave it as the best movie ever for all time and never go back to it.
Yeah, it's fine. It does what it does. And I hope it... I think strong word of mouth, because I think it's sitting pretty well on Rotten Tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to stay around for a little bit longer.
Cool.
But then there's probably something coming out next week. How to Train Your Dragon again. That's right. Yep. So that'll probably... It won't be number one. That's what I'm saying.
No, never. That's true.
Never.
Does that mean it's the end for Tom Cruise films?
No, not at all. I'm sure he's got another one in the pipeline.
Should I look that up real quick to see if
Please
there's
do.
One? I'm going to look it up, see if there's another Tom Cruise movie in the pipeline. Okay, you ready? You ready for this?
Always.
No, 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 no.
He'd be doing a Mission Impossible, wouldn't he?
Will he?
Yeah, he's doing 5.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably it then. Upcoming projects. 8 upcoming projects.
Jack Reacher 2?
Jack Reacher. Top Gun 2? Top Gun 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about drones or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's another Van Helsing film coming out.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, actually, and I thought this is just a side note to Edge of Tomorrow, I thought it was interesting in this film that you see him being really short.
Yeah.
Like, he's not short for Hollywood standards. He's like 5'9 or whatever.
I think he's like, it says here he's 5'7.
Okay, well, that's, you know, still. But there's a lot of people in Hollywood are like 6'2 or whatever. Yeah, a lot of people, I guess, have always assumed he had a complex about being really short or whatever. But you see him in a lot of
But now he has a complex about people thinking he has a complex about
it. Oh, so he's right, so he has to reverse that. But yeah, I thought it was interesting that you see him in a lot of scenes, like, especially when he's, you know, oh, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm this new recruit in this powered armor situation, like they'd all be marching in the powered armor, and he's clearly the shortest one.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Okay, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
That power armor didn't really bring anything, though, like you said. Did you think it was a... I didn't even think it was a particularly interesting design.
No, not really, yeah.
But like you said, it was a minor thing.
Yeah, and it was a minor thing. I think it was more the idea of, well, you can't send just a regular guy into the front lines because he'd be immediately killed.
Yeah.
But if we add this conceit that just even regular guys can operate this power arm and become proper soldiers.
Mm.
You know, then the idea is then we can throw Tom Cruise in the front lines.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah. So, Mission Impossible 5. Actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Who liked 4?
The guy who did Jack Reacher, though, which I haven't seen.
Uh-huh.
Brad Bird, I think, made the best of Mission Impossible, which is the last one.
Yeah.
But yeah. He's doing other stuff, Mason.
Huh.
Tomorrowland, I think? Or is that Jon Favreau? I think it's him.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, is there another Incredibles film coming out?
There is.
Yeah, that was my favourite one.
Me too. Oh no, you liked Cars too.
No, that's not true. I like the Cars spin-off Planes. That one where they tried to pretend that it was a Pixar film and it wasn't.
Yeah, jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, there we go, Mason.
Great stuff. I think we reviewed the hell out of that film.
We'll talk about this briefly again next year when we talk about Mission Impossible 5.
Hooray!
Alright, you know what it's time for?
What we read and what we're gonna raid.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? You know it.
I'm going to read All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah, I think
I'll see what it's like.
Sure.
Unless it's an actual novel.
Or
in which
it's in
case
Japanese.
I've got zero. Yeah. Okay, here's the deal. If I can find a free PDF version of it on the internet that's been translated in English well, and it's short, I'll probably maybe give it a go. If it's a manga, I'll give it a go. If it's in Japanese, obviously I'm not going to read it. If it's in English, but...
You're bloody racist, mate.
Yeah, I know, right? If it's in English, but I read the first sentence and the syntax is quite poor, I'm putting it down again.
Okay.
If I have to pay for it, I'm not reading it. There's a lot of provisos on this, but I'm...
It sounds to me like you're not going to read
it. I'm probably not going to read
it. This section isn't called What We Not Going to Read, Mason.
No, it is. I changed it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, thanks. What are you not going to read?
The Bible.
Nice.
No, what I'm going to read this week is... Josh Smith recommended this, and this ties into time travel.
Mm-hmm.
He's from England. Now, he loved us talking about Looper and Days of Future Past in relation to time travel.
Uh-huh.
And he challenges us to watch the movie Primer.
Oh, I've heard about Primer.
I've been meaning to watch this for ages. Apparently, it's a very realistic take
as
you can get.
It's hard sci-fi.
Yeah.
None of this silly sci-fi that we normally...
No.
With the mimics and our... squiddies and so forth.
That's it.
Yeah.
Apparently, you really got to focus. And I think said this before, when I watch things a lot of the time, I'm like, I'm on my phone, I'm editing a video, I'm doing whatever, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm going to have to sit down and watch this properly.
Mm, yeah.
I've been meaning to watch it for ages, so I'm going to try and give that a watch this week.
Okay.
Challenge accepted, Josh.
Yeah. Let me know how that goes.
You do not accept?
I'll get to it eventually.
Sure.
I've got to watch all those episodes of Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's right. All 40 episodes. Ooh. I've also got here Fargo, because people keep saying, watch Fargo. I want to watch Fargo. So, yeah. Mm. There you go. That's what we're reading for this week.
There
we
go. What else? By the way, people... Broad City, people are recommending also Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah.
Which I haven't seen in Broad City.
Okay, cool.
Apparently, you know, female-led kind of shows, which are really good. So
great. All right. Yeah. Also, a few people emailed and said they loved that Darth Vader ghost prison story from last week. So, yeah. Cool. You know
did
what?
You make that a video? You did.
I did.
Fantastic.
Tell you what, we should ask Lucasfilm for money or something. We probably made them like $4.
$4 at least. We are promoting a lot of their average properties for no remuneration.
That's a good one, though. That's a good Lucasfilm property. So, yeah. There you go, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some emails, some listener emails for this week.
I'm ready to hear them.
Nah. Let's just...
Yeah, skip them.
Fuck it. Nah. Let's do it. We've got some good ones. This is from Austin Singleton.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, I'm getting married Saturday, which was yesterday.
Oh. It's
Sunday. Wonder if I can get a shout out.
Shout out. Wait a second. One, maybe this is a trap. I want to hear the rest of it.
I'm going to murder my wife on our honeymoon.
Oh, shout out.
No, I'll be on my honeymoon when the podcast comes out, but I will download it on my phone and listen to it on the plane. I don't miss an episode. Thank you. Keep up the good work, guys. Or from Austin Singleton, but I've got here brackets.
Austin more like wedding.
Oh, I was going to say married.
Nice.
Good you work. Son of a bitch, you got into my joke.
Sorry.
That's all right.
You did the best one, okay.
Well, I had time to think
about
it.
Hopefully the rest of these have pun pun names as well. We can easily pun on.
Yours was better, though, because you came up with that on the spot. I wrote that down many hours ago. And to get ready
and
for
there
this
was just a montage of you just writing up, like, at a desk lamp, just a desk with a lamp over you and just scribbling down. And then, no, and you're just scrunching up the paper and throwing it away. Just a photo of the, just a picture of the waste paper basket. It's just slowly filling up the paper and just overfilling.
This one's from Dean B from Liverpool.
Uh-huh. Liverpool.
Yeah. That's where one of the most famous bands in the world are from. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I was going to say Dick Van Dyke, the chimney sweep. But go ahead.
He was wondering... maybe we should have an outro at the end of our episode, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, because it just cuts off abruptly, which it does. Because the YouTube videos, when I do for the Weekly Planet, he says, I end with a theme.
Yep.
And he said, maybe we could use that or request a new one. Brackets, he's saying, he ain't going to do one, which is fair enough.
Yeah, that's yeah.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't require anyone to do one, quite frankly. I'm amazed anyone's made it to the end of any of these episodes.
He says, best wishes from Scouseland.
Ooh.
Try the Scouse accent if you like. I'll
research it and I'll approach it later.
My Liverpool accent is Jack Black's Liverpool accent from Walk Hard, the film.
Yep, okay.
Where he's Paul McCartney, is he?
Yeah.
In that? Yeah. So there you
We're
go.
We're the Beatles, the four Beatles. Yeah, that bit, yeah.
Us, the four Beatles. I'm Ringo, I'm here to have fun. That's not bad, right?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Who can disprove us except anybody who lives there?
All right. Ian Jacko Jackson. I added the Jacko.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's good, right? It's got a good old-fashioned Aussie nickname.
He wants to start a Death's Head campaign, Mason.
And I saw this on Twitter,
and you were like, you want to say something about
you
this.
You want to
veto it, is that
no,
right?
No, I don't want to veto it. The idea is, you know, we're probably going to see a lot of bounty hunters in the new Star Wars films.
Mm.
You know, Disney-owned Marvel now, so throw in Death's Head in that group. He doesn't have to get a speaking role. He doesn't have to... You know, anything like that, but just have him in the background, just shooting some stuff. Hitting somebody with an axe, you know?
Does he do that?
Yeah, he's got an axe.
Sweet.
He's got his arms come off, his hands come off, and he can put like plug in a gun or an axe or whatever.
I have a question for you.
Rum ready.
If he takes both his arms off,
I think he can only take one arm off.
I was
going to
say.
Yeah.
How does he
and
get
he put
them
the
both
other
back
one on?
Off?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Probably wedges it in a door and like.
Probably wedges it in a door, yeah.
I don't know. So he says, if you want to see the Death's Head cameo, and I know Ralph from Cake Boss would be on board
friend
for that.
Friend of the show.
Also, we should plug his podcast.
I was just going to say, yeah, he does
I've been meaning
called,
to do this,
yeah,
and I forget every
for
week.
Time.
Sorry,
yeah.
Ralph.
Yeah, it's he's got a podcast called Movie Mandate.
Yeah.
Where he goes on a mandate.
And they have like a drink that's related to the film.
Super fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah, that hashtag is Star...
He's been a big boost to the show. Thanks, Ralph.
I know.
If you are listening. Maybe he doesn't listen this far either.
Who would?
No.
Hashtag Star Wars Death's Head cameo.
Cool.
So hit that up.
I'm ready, yeah.
And maybe chuck in a hashtag Star Wars in there so it will get directly to the Star Wars Twitter feed.
Yeah, yeah.
Jose Peralta. You're familiar with him?
Friend of the show. Absolutely, yeah.
Great bloke. Last week we announced Daxon as the official Spider-Man and he wrote in and said, can I be the official Mexican Batman?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes,
go
you
nuts.
Can.
Yeah.
You can be of all nations.
Yeah, yeah. Don't even, you know what, at this point, forward guys, if you want to be the official blank of whatever, you don't even have to request it. Just let us know you are. Yep. And I'm okay with that. It sounds great.
Yep, that's
the
it.
The more official things we've got, the better.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
I say, you know, it's better to...
love have lost than to not have loved at all.
Well, that, but also I was going to say it's easier to ask for forgiveness than require permission or
that's
whatever the
true.
Hell they say.
Yeah. Exactly.
So just say you are. It's fine.
That's right. Mm.
Love an official thing.
Well done, everyone.
Yeah.
Now, I just wanted to acknowledge this. Seth...
The traditional owners of our land?
Yes, that's right.
Great.
Seth Zelitsky. Yep. He sent in a really genuinely nice email that I'll show you after.
Uh-huh.
It's just, he didn't ask for a shout out or anything. He didn't ask a question, but he just said some really...
What's his game?
Nothing. That's it. He just said it was just a really nice email.
The internet's ruined me for just people doing nice things. What does he want?
But it was just... It was a really nice one. It's just a nice email to read. I'm not going to read it out because it's a bit self-serving because he basically says how much he loves the show and he appreciates and whatever. So I'm not going to go through it because I don't want to, you know,
yep.
I'm too cynical for that. But I just want to say I really appreciate it and thank you.
Thanks,
Seth.
Buddy. Cool.
Yeah. Mason, this
I
is
I didn't
it.
Write you an email. What are you... Oh, okay. Continue.
I wanted to talk about some reviews that we got on iTunes.
Yes.
Thank you to those people who do that, by the way.
Yeah,
if you could review on iTunes, that'd be great. We're getting up there. Now if you go to like the iTunes page of some like big movies podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes we're featured like underneath
Ooh.
And stuff, which is pretty, pretty cool.
We're clawing our way to the top. We'll bring them down. We won't get to the top. We'll bring them further down.
That's the point.
That's the point.
That's
yeah.
the whole point of this.
Thank you.
So I want to read a couple of reviews, Mason.
Okay, ready.
This one, parts of it anyway. This one's from Grant Tail.
Uh-huh.
It's from May 24th. Basically said, he talks about how he enjoys the show and whatever and et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, it's like, you know, sitting around, like listening to your friends talk about stuff like that, which I guess is the kind of vibe we're trying to go for, right?
I guess. Yeah.
But yeah.
No, I prefer to be just like lecturing people about stuff. Listen, idiots. No.
I just don't understand when people try to really formalize their podcast and be like, hello, it's the show and welcome this week. We're going to just talk like people talk.
Right.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I'm saying.
Next week, we're just going to rag on other people's podcasts. We're going to play a clip and then be like, listen what you're doing wrong. Come on, idiots.
He also says, he adds at the end, it's also hilarious, although they are a bad influence on me because when my wife asked me to go to the...
My wife? Sorry. You know what? I think you're allowed one of those a year.
Okay.
And that was mine.
And that's mine also, is it? Because I was in the room. Is that how that works?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Oh, I want one. Can I do the Bruno one?
Okay, you can do the Bruno.
I'm super gay! Or what's his catchphrase? I don't know.
That was it, yeah.
Cool. I don't think I've seen that movie.
Me neither.
Okay, there you go. Good on him. Although they are a bad influence on me because my wife asked me to go to the Archibald...
My wife?
You son of a bitch.
That's for next year.
My wife asked me to go to the Archibald Prize exhibition, and I ended up in the doghouse for saying, fuck art.
Great stuff. Solid work.
You remember, I think it was me, maybe.
Yeah,
you said
was,
that
yeah.
very early on.
Yep.
That I said comics, or we said comics are for nerds and fuck art or whatever. Yep. I remember, most people obviously got that, but I remember there was one guy who was like, these guys don't even like comic books. They said fuck art. Like, obviously we don't really. But isn't that incredible? I love how that sprung to his mind. I'm sorry you got in the doghouse, Grand Tale.
But at the same time, if you got something in your head, you should express that.
He went out guns blazing,
yeah,
and I respect
right.
that.
Yeah.
Also, this one actually is directed specifically to you.
Okay.
It says best podcast ever, and then it says Mason, continue your lack of interest in all things comics or movies.
Woo! Challenge accepted.
So yeah, there you go. They're pretty good. So thank you for all.
There's so many people who listen once, and they're like, "Why doesn't he know anything?" And I fully mate, like, I know some stuff.
Yeah.
But the memory's a bit scrambled at this point. Like, I'm sure most of the stuff I say is wrong. But I say it with conviction.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I feel like, though, we both bring different things to the table.
Uh-huh.
Like, I read movie news.
And you brought me that cup of tea.
And I do bring you that cup of tea. And you have this weird knowledge of weird comic things that I don't have, that you may or may not even have.
Sometimes I'm making it up.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
So there you go. Mm. That's the show for this week, Mason. It's a bit
Fantastic.
Of a short one. We're a bit short of an hour 10, which
that's
is,
okay.
Yeah, but that's
still
okay.
That's still a good listen. You can, be on the bus.
Be on a bus.
Be in your limo. I don't know what your socioeconomic status is.
You know
Either
it.
Of those.
Do you want to, maybe next week, if there's not a big movie out, maybe we'll do a Doctor Strange one.
Okay, cool.
Talk about Doctor Strange and the powers that be.
Yeah.
I got to really brush up on my Doctor Strange then.
Yeah.
Aya Bagamotto, goatees, best wizard.
He's one of the best wizards, yeah. Certainly. So he goes back and forth. Sometimes he's the best wizard. Sometimes he's nearly the best wizard.
Ah.
Yeah.
Like we're nearly the best podcast.
Correct. Correct. So one of the top 40,000 wizards.
All right. So I guess that's the show.
That is the show.
Thank you, Mason.
Thank you, James, junior editor.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Oh, yes. One more thing. I'm doing a video. I did a video on top Star Wars movie ideas or whatever. I just did, I think, 3 or 4, and I'm going to do a few of them. All of them are taken from last week's podcast. So if you listen to that, you don't really need to watch it.
Yeah. But they'll be clever little animations, probably.
Nah. Yeah. Very little effort, but great thumbnail. Saw it.
Yeah, that draws people right in. Yeah.
You know it.
Also, thank you to your dog for sitting there the entire hour and not assaulting us.
I love this dog.
I know.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Outro theme. Friends leaving the room together. What a show. What a memory. I hope nobody turns that into anything.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.